Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
Yeah, thanks, MOTAT. All right, Marcus, what's going on?
Okay, so we got some good stories this week. The first one I want to talk about is all about nutrients from food versus nutrients from supplements.
Right. Okay, shall we explain what sort of supplements we're talking about?
Well, all sorts, really. So there's this big study that's just been published, so researchers found nutrients are good for you. Big surprise there. So an adequate intake of certain nutrients is linked to reduction in all causes of mortality. So, in other words, you live longer if you eat well.
Great. Yeah. Okay.
But the intake of nutrients from, if you intake those nutrients using supplements, makes no difference.
No difference at all.
Reduce your mortality rate. Yes.
So, for example, if I was taking like a pill which had, you know, vitamin C, olive leaf extract, garlic, and zinc all
this
in
is
one.
Very specific. Is this all what you in took one. This morning?
Just an example.
Okay.
No pointing fingers, Marcus. But say my boyfriend, he would like, you know, try and have some olive leaf like extract, like real olive leaf extract, right. Or also have some garlic every now and again.
Yeah.
He's more likely to be
I don't know if they tested all of those nutrients specifically. I mean, olive leaf extract certainly wasn't in the article, but the general finding was it's better if you eat it in your diet in terms of your sort of regular diet,
right.
And food you eat rather than taking specific pills.
Okay.
And in one particular case, in calcium, a lot of people take calcium supplements. And they found that excess calcium, this was the most worrying, excess calcium intake was linked to an increased risk of cancer death.
Increased
risk of cancer death. And that was associated with supplemental doses exceeding 1,000 milligrams a day. So it's 1 gram every day of calcium. And those calcium tablets are pretty sort of whopping big tablets, aren't they?
Okay, so what you're saying is that people, in terms of their diets, should be trying to incorporate all of these different.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's really sort of highlighting how important it is to understand the role that the nutrient, but also the source of the nutrients, plays in health outcomes, because it's not always beneficial, it's not always as good to eat to take the pills as it is, and it can be detrimental.
Yeah. I would say this also raises an issue of access, right? Like if you can't get all these different nutrients in your diet because of whatever reason, right? You can't sort of do that.
Yeah.
And then also if you think about it, you know, taking a pill it's like a convenient measure that you can do.
That's right.
It's that
absolutely
kind of difficulty. So how do we make sure that we're actually making good food that people can access?
Well, that's a bigger question. We have to make good food more accessible,
yeah.
I guess.
But that's a good study to kind
but
of.
It is. And you know, they found that vitamin K, magnesium, all associated with lower lower death rates. Vitamin A, K, zinc associated with lower risk of death from CVD. But excess intake of calcium was associated with higher risks. But the nutrients again, if they were made no difference to death rates if they were taken as supplements and compared to not taking them at all.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you for that one. Plastic bag bans.
Yeah, this is the controversial one.
Okay.
So most of us are used to, or were recently used to, getting disposable plastic bags at the supermarket, and that's mostly being phased out in New Zealand. So plastic bags, you know, clogged up sewers and landfills and led to, you know, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and other, you know, lots of pollution, some of which we've talked about here before. And there's been a big international movement to get rid of them. So across the world, developed countries especially, freely distributed disposable bags are being banned.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
But
okay.
These bans may be hurting the environment more than helping it.
Why?
Good question. So this was actually an economist from the University of Sydney got interested in this problem because she moved for jobs in different countries, and every time she moved, it seemed like the plastic bag bans, you know, followed her. So wherever she moved to, they started banning them. And she did this study in California, and in about 2016, Before California banned plastic bags completely, or just disposable bags, there were a bunch of cities across the state that implemented the policy themselves. In other words, they preempted it and they did it first.
Okay.
And so what they did is tailor this professor from the University of Sydney. She compared bag use in cities with the bans to those without the bans in California. And they, for 6 months, they spent weekends in supermarkets and grocery stores, you know, counting out the types of bag people carried out, and she also looked at the store sales data as well.
Right.
So big study. Very exciting. And so she found that people in the cities with the bans use fewer plastic bags, not surprisingly,
mm-hmm.
okay, which led to about 40 million fewer pounds of plastic trash per year, about 20 million kilograms of fewer plastic trash per year. Yeah.
This is great. This all sounds very good.
Super, wonderful. But people who used to reuse their shopping bags for other purposes, like picking up dog waste or lining rubbish bins or things like that, they still needed plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what she found was that sales of rubbish bags actually skyrocketed.
Okay.
When the plastic disposable bags were banned.
Right.
And that was particularly the case for small rubbish bags, so you put in a small bin in your kitchen or something like that, which saw 120% increase. Okay, and that's significant because rubbish bags are thick compared to the disposable bags that you used to get. They use much more plastic than the typical disposable bag, and so about 30% of the plastic that was eliminated when the ban came in was sort of
re-put into the environment,
I guess,
right?
Yes, in terms of these thicker garbage bags.
Shit.
Yes. and on top of that, they also, the cities that had banned the plastic bags saw a surge of the paper bags. People thought paper's better than plastic,
yes.
So paper bags. And so that resulted in an extra 80 million pounds or about 40 million kilograms of extra paper. Paper waste per year.
But okay? This is, paper would probably break down sooner than plastic.
So this is where it gets interesting. So several studies find that paper bags are actually worse for the environment because they require cutting down and processing trees, which involves a lot of water, toxic chemicals, fuel, heavy machinery, and although paper is biodegradable, which avoids some of the problems of plastic, the huge increase of paper together with the uptick in plastic rubbish bags means that banning plastic shopping bags actually increases greenhouse gas emissions.
What?
Yeah.
That's really depressing.
But they don't. Banning the bags does reduce non-biodegradable litter. That's absolutely.
And can you buy, you know, like bin liners or other sort of rubbish bags which are biodegradable? You can do that.
I think, yes, you can. And also, so a lot of supermarkets here as well, they have these reusable cloth bags.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they've got to be great, right?
No. You're going to tell me they're not.
No.
Well, I was also concerned because actually it just seems like, if you forget your bag, you have to buy another one. Otherwise, so then you just get this influx
Absolutely.
Of number of bags in your house, which
Absolutely,
are eventually going to go to the waste anyway.
Well, they could be even worse than that. So there was a study in 2011 in the UK that found a person would have to use reuse a cotton tote bag, those sort of cloth bags, 131 times before it was better for climate change than using a plastic grocery bag once.
Whoa.
Now, I don't know. I would tend to either lose or forget or whatever before mm-hmm. I use one of those tote bags 131 times.
131, yeah. Sorry.
131.
Yeah. We have a caller. Should we let's just take this caller. Hello, caller.
Hi. You mentioned the cost to the environment of making paper bags. You never mentioned the cost to the environment of making plastic bags.
Ah, good point.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah.
So, but what Marcus was saying, caller, is that if we don't have the exact stats of what it is, but the cost to make the paper bag is a very significant cost to the environment, and the whole process of it is in fact worse than the plastic making.
Yes.
Is that correct?
So that is definite that it's worse to the environment than making the plastic bag. Digging the oil out, the cost of digging oil out, and all the rest of it.
Honestly, that I couldn't tell you, but I think if we are replacing that amount of plastic with the paper bags, this study showed definitely that there was a cost in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. Yes, overall.
But it sounds a bit incomplete, though, yeah?
The data I've given is definitely incomplete, but...
But I guess something to think about, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, thank you, caller.
Cheers.
Bye. Yeah. All right, next story?
Yes, next story. Wow, that's the first call.
That's you handled it very well. And it is a good point. We do, you know, I guess when we're in this position now, we are probably having to weigh up the goods,
no, absolutely.
The bads.
And there is...
Also texted in saying, what about hemp used for paper, etc.? And somebody's saying, biodegradable plastic bags and bin liners, paper bags made from recycled paper, not fresh trees. Hemp, 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 hemp. Someone else has texted. And somebody's saying, paper bags don't choke sea life. So
that's true.
You could also absolutely say that true. There's a whole range of things that actually...
Yeah.
Mean, yeah, going that way.
Absolutely. And really, so it's the last bit, what should we actually do? And so the most environmentally friendly way to carry groceries is to use the same bag over and over again, without a doubt.
Yeah. There we go.
And the best reusable bags are actually made from polyester or plastics like polypropylene,
okay.
Not necessarily paper. I don't know about hemp. But other ones are good.
That's a conversation.
But they still have to be used dozens and dozens and dozens of times to be greener than the plastic grocery bags that really have the smallest carbon footprint for a single use.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Marcus. Our last story, which we'll race through maybe.
A lot less controversial.
Is it though? I was a bit concerned about this. I mean,
I don't know.
Okay, so we're talking about very old ice.
Very, very old ice. So there is a project, quite an ambitious project, backed by a European consortium to basically dig a big hole in Antarctica and drill down and produce an ice core that's about 3 kilometers long. So they've pulled these ice cores out for many years now, and the idea is that they look at the gases that are trapped in the ice, and they can tell things about the climate as it was thousands or hundreds of thousands of years ago. And so what they're really looking for is that this really, really long ice core, the longer it is or the deeper it goes, the further back in time it goes, can lead to an explanation for why the Earth's ice ages flipped in frequency in the deep past.
Okay.
Yeah. So something happened, apparently, this is what they know, something happened about 900,000 years ago when the ice age cycles changed from about every 40,000 years to about every 100,000 years, and they don't know why. Yeah, and knowing why is important because if we want to forecast what's going to happen in the future with our climate and everything, mm-hmm. we need to have a really good picture of what's happened in the past.
Isn't, if you're going to drill into some ice, that's going to have some effects, right?
This is just the ice core is inches or a few centimeters in diameter. It's just very, 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 very long.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it'll be fine? It's not going
to... That's the fine... Yeah,
it's
hard to do, and it'll take several years to do it, to actually drill down and also to analyze everything. But they're using they're doing it in a region in Antarctica that is close to a base that... I think it's a Russian base? I can't remember. But, it's where the ice... The elevation is about 10,000... what is that in meters? About 10,000 meters.
Okay. No.
About 3,000 or 4,000 meters, I think.
Okay.
So there's plenty of ice there to drill down.
Do this,
into.
And yeah. Ultimately it will tell us information.
So ultimately, that they hope to look at the levels of carbon dioxide in the ice. They analyze atoms in the water ice molecules, encasing the gases that can give you an idea of the temperatures that persisted at the time. That's basically the snow fell, thousands and thousands of years ago. And so they can get a lot of really useful information. And currently, the oldest ice core ever drilled comes from an effort nearby, actually, where they're doing this one. And they drilled over about a period of about 8 years and pulled up a 10-centimeter wide cylinder that was about 2.7 kilometers long.
Wow!
So this extra 300 meters or so, apparently, they think it's going to go back, more than a million years into our history, and they're going to be able to maybe answer
amazing.
Some of these questions. Yeah.
Okay. Somebody texted in, what if drilling ice actually releases things? Because I probably don't understand the process, I was a bit skeptical of it. Somebody also saying, very interesting, grocery stores must have profited from the removal of reusable plastic bags. Less cost plus more sales of rubbish bags.
I'm certainly the people who make rubbish bags have profited, definitely.
Hard out. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Marcus. We'll leave it there.
Mind blowing. That was Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.